From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to North America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM, next hour. His name is John J. Harper, and we're going to talk about Transformers, shamans of the 21st century, with a look at some trance phenomena. I'm looking forward to that one. Well, we get mail, we sure do. Here's just one of them. Dear George, your guest last Wednesday, Dr. Philip Tierno, made a comment on how to exit a bathroom by using a paper towel to open the door and then discarding it on the floor to send a message as to where a garbage can should be placed. As a custodian at a university myself, I often encounter this form of nonverbal communication from PhDs. Maybe they think we as custodians have no other means of communication with other life forms except higher than ourselves than garbage flung at our feet. This is one step above chimps flinging things at one another to communicate. I found his comments very offensive. Perhaps he should learn a more civilized form of communicating his needs. That's from Dennis, a custodian at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. Passing that on. Well, the showdown is coming. I feel it, and so do you. Iran has told the International Atomic Energy Agency to remove surveillance cameras and agency seals from sites and nuclear equipment by the end of next week. Iran's demands came just 2 days after the IAEA reported that Tehran to the Security Council over its disputed atomic program. Now, the council has the power to impose economic and political sanctions, but there's just no way they're going to just impose economic and political sanctions. They don't stop what is going to happen. In a confidential report to the IAEA's 35-member board, the agency head, Mohammed El-Baradi, says that Iran has announced a sharp reduction in the number and kind of inspections that the IAEA experts will be allowed, effective immediately. And on the heels of all this, Russia's foreign minister has warned against threatening Iran over its nuclear program after Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld reportedly agreed with a German interviewer that all options, including military response, remained on the table. Now, the Russian foreign minister called for talks to continue with Tehran, which was reported to the UN Security Council on Saturday. This is what he says. I think that at the current stage, it's important not to make guesses about what will happen, and even more important, not to make threats. But I still feel as if this is all coming to a head. And if you look at what's going on now in the Islamic world with these people burning embassies and torching, and some people are dying over these cartoons, which should not have been put in newspapers, by the way. I mean, how would you feel if they believe that Muhammad is their prophet? How would you feel, Christians, if Jesus was, for example, in those newspapers and they did things? So that's one story all by itself. One day we'll talk about that on a special program. Be that as it may, I think these people are being pushed and coerced by a lot of very radical people. And it's just quite obvious, if you look at the pieces to the puzzle, everything is pointing towards some kind of major conflict. And I just feel it in my bones, and I'm now beginning to see it. If you do, fast blast me, because I want to just get your thoughts on it. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez has argued that President Bush's terrorism surveillance program is well within the boundaries of presidential authority in the time of war. And he said it may make the difference between success and failure in stopping the next terrorist attack. As the president has said, if you're talking to Al-Qaeda, we want to know about it. Gonzalez testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Democrats, meanwhile, are accusing the administration of depriving Congress of information about the program and say the program is illegal. The Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter, Republican out of Pennsylvania, has called Gonzalez's legal explanations strained and unrealistic. In Atlanta, Georgia, thousands of mourners filed past the casket of Coretta Scott King on Monday, paying their respects to the First Lady of the Civil Rights Movement at the historic church where her husband shared his dream for racial equality in the 60s. People lined up for blocks outside the Ebenezer Baptist Church, waiting for hours in freezing rain for a moment to bid farewell to the widow of Reverend Martin Luther King. 78 years old, she died on January 30th at an alternative medicine clinic in Mexico, where doctors said she was battling advanced ovarian cancer. If you go to the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at the feature article posted by Lex Lonehood, the webmaster. Look at the picture of the French woman, the woman who made medical history as the recipient of a partial face transplant. She appeared at a news conference Monday, telling the world she was grateful for the operation, a day after she ventured into public in her hometown for the first time. She said, "Now I have a face like everyone else." And you know what? Just take a look at her picture. She looks pretty darn good. In a speech that was heavily slurred, she explained how she was mauled by a dog last year and thanked the family for the donor who gave her new lips, a chin, and a nose. It was a 15-hour operation. Here in Los Angeles, by using a compressed air cannon, L.A. police can blast an RFID tag onto a suspect's car, track it with radio-transmitted GPS from a distance. The company behind the technology is called StarChase. They call it real-time tagging and tracking pursuit management. StarChase said on its website that there are more than 100,000 high-speed chases each year, which endanger everyone in the area of the pursuit. With the technology, the police now can sit back at a distance, follow the vehicle, while coordinated efforts ahead of the pursuit can put them in a position to stop a fleeing car. The signal from the tag bounces off a satellite to a secure web server where dispatchers can then watch the vehicle's moments in real time. Importantly, according to StarChase, they said their solution is also court admissible and preserves the chain of evidence. A tsunami warning, which was automatically sent to television and radio stations throughout Alaska Monday morning, was issued in error, according to the National Weather Service. Just what people there needed to hear. It went out by mistake. They say there is no danger of a tsunami. Just what went wrong? Well, they really don't know, except technicians were working on a computer and they were showing a new intern how warnings are issued, so maybe something happened. In a moment, our guest will be none other than Nick Begich. Nick, of course, an expert in HAARP. Well, we're going to be talking about mind control in a moment with him on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Nick Begich is the eldest son of the late United States Congressman from Alaska, Nick Begich Sr., and political activist Peggy Begich. He is well known in Alaska for his own political activities, and he was twice elected president of both the Alaska Federation of Teachers, the Anchorage Council of Education. Now, he's been pursuing independent research in the sciences and politics for most of his life. Begich received his doctorate in traditional medicine from the Open International University for Complementary Medicines in 1994. He is the editor of the Earth Pulse Flashpoints, a new science book series. Begich has served as an expert witness and speaker before the European Parliament. He has spoken on various issues for groups representing citizen concerns, statesmen, and elected officials, scientists, and others. Many years ago, I had my first introduction to Nick Begich when he wrote the book Angels Don't Play This Harp, and he's written a number of others as well. Now we talk about mind control, and he's going to be at a conference in Los Angeles this weekend, which I'll tell you about in a moment. Nick, how are you? Good to have you back.
I'm great. It's good to be with you again. It's been a little while, and I guess we'll be seeing each other down there.
Yes, we will. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's good to meet people personally. You know, you work with folks for years over the radio, and it'll be nice to put faces with personality.
Well, you may see mine, Nick, and run the other way.
Well, I don't know about that.
You might think somebody's been aiming HAARP at me. Mind control. Tell me about this. How'd you get involved in this now?
Well, you know, this, it really was sort of the outgrowth of some of the things that started coming out, you know, way back when we were first doing our HARP work. You know, there was a paper back in 1995 by Persinger out of Laurentian University that had actually looked at if you could ever figure out, you know, sort of how to resonate, you know, this electromagnetic fields of the Earth, you could create this technology that, in fact, would influence behavior of people over huge areas. And Persinger actually produced a paper on this. HARP was, in fact, a system that could accomplish it. And this concept actually even goes back further. It goes back to some of the work of J.F. Gordon McDonald back in 1969 at UCLA that was talking about the same kind of technology, a concept of really oscillating or modulating the magnetic field lines surrounding the Earth in order to create changes in people's behavior. And that's really where the issue started for me. And as we went through the last 11 years of research, we pulled together hundreds of documents going back as far back as the 1920s and then tracking all the way through the 20s, 30s, 40s, then the era of the Korean conflict where a lot of this came out, and then moving forward from there to some of the more well-known mind control projects for the CIA.
Nick, we get a lot of calls from some people who think that they are being mind manipulated. They think they're being tested. They think things are being shot at them. Are these people off kilter or a bit, or do you think there is indeed something happening to them?
I think it's mixed. I think that there are, in fact, and there is history of human experimentation in the United States by our government. And this area particularly was revealed going back to 1975, there was a June 1975 report called the Report to the President by the Commission on CIA Activities Within the United States, where mind control technologies through MKUltra and other programs were disclosed. And the fact that there had been victims was disclosed as well. And it was Secretary of Energy O'Leary during the Clinton administration that acknowledged in all kinds of human experimentation, including this area, over 500,000 Americans over a 40-year period had been used without consent in various kinds of experiments. Mind control dealt with a lot of individuals within the military and in the civilian sector. And so those folks that call you, a certain percentage of them are probably dead on right. Others is difficult to say.
Are they part of an experiment?
Well, you know, that this is the issue, you know, and in fact, do you remember the Unabomber?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Unabomber actually was part of the MKUltra experiments. It came out in the New York Times, you know, after his arrest and conviction, you know, and here's kind of the question of, was he one of those sleepers, you know, that are out there? And there was actually a number of sub-projects under MKUltra that dealt with building what fiction called the Manchurian Candidate, but the CIA had a very active interest in creating those kinds of individuals. And it shows up within their own literature and things that have been disclosed under Freedom of Information Act in the last several years.
You know, we keep reading about new technologies that will be used for war. You know, laser guns that they're going to test in 2007.
Right.
Which I believe they probably already have.
Right.
Honestly. Right. And so it wouldn't be far-fetched to assume that they've already tested mind control. They've already got this incredible ultrasonic machine that is supposed to render people down to their knees, Nick,
right.
And you know, your blood comes out of their ears,
right.
And they can't handle that. So, you know, this is all very possible.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, we reported on those technologies, including roving wiretaps, as far back as 2000 in one of our other books, Earth, Rise, and the Revolution. And, you know, this technology that you're hearing about now in the mainstream press in terms of surveillance has been around and in the open literature a long time. But when you look at the new technology being introduced to the battlefield, particularly systems that are basically energy-based, those systems that can bring you to their knees using ultrasonics, by manipulating that ultrasonic signal, you can do much, much more. And that's, I think, where the real action is. In fact, I think you remember, I think his first name was, he went by Woody. He won the Lemonson MIT Prize.
Yes, just had him on the show a few months ago.
Right. Now, this is a guy that was able to take ultrasonic sound using heterodyning and being able to transfer sound literally into the head of individuals. Well, the same guy designed a different system, the active denial system that was used for using sound as a weapon. In other words, amping it up a little bit and creating more power to create discomfort. But, you know, how you use the energy is really the key, whether you create discomfort or whether you influence someone psychologically or emotionally. This is what much of this technology is all about and how it's emerging. And the sad story is a lot of the things that are being learned that could really be useful in the health sciences aren't accessible to health practitioners because they're classified under these military programs.
Part of me, Nick, because of this strong Navy background that I've had, part of me believes that if we can develop and take the advantage technologically in war, we should do it. At any cost. But then there's this other part of me that says, okay, that's all well and good. We use it in, you know, against our enemies, and we have many.
Yeah.
But what happens if they, whoever they may be, decide to use it on us?
Well, this is very important because, you know, the priority funding, because these all fall under what are called non-lethal weapons, because they don't kill you, they just disable you or make you incapacitated. These get priority funding if they have dual use under an agreement between Department of Defense and Department of Justice. In other words, if they can be used domestically for riot control purposes and the like, then they get a little bit of edge in the marketplace in terms of grabbing congressional
funding.
Well,
see, you know, what I would do, Nick, is I would wheel one of these machines out there where these people are rioting in these foreign countries, burning embassies, destroying things. And I would simply say, hey, you know what? We're flipping the switch. Go home, people. And I'd keep it on. Now, you know, the problem is I think those kids, most of them are young. You look at the pictures.
Yeah.
They're being pushed and manipulated by the extremists who have their own agenda.
Right.
These kids have no idea what they're out there for. You know, they'd rather go home. But they're being pushed and manipulated just like mind control.
Yeah, and it really, in one level, it actually is. It's just a little less sophisticated than what technology offers these days. And you know, and this is exactly where you're going to see these technologies deployed. And you'll see it in the next couple of years, if not sooner. I mean, as these kinds of unruly situations emerge, and the cost of rebuilding countries is clearly in the focus of American taxpayers, other solutions are going to be sought and accepted, and this is going to be one of them. The unfortunate part of some of this is the technology is advancing farther and faster than the opportunities to really kind of debate, you know, what does it mean and what are the implications of it? And that's where the danger lies, because we're talking about technologies that can manipulate literally what was considered sort of off limits. You know, when you think of the whole American character is based on freedom of thought as sort of a starting point, and then from there everything else sort of emerges. So interference there, I think, is an issue that everyone should be concerned about. I mean, it's interference with even free will at some levels when you start to talk about what technology is out there and how it's been used.
Woody Norris, by the way, that's his last name.
Yeah, that's it. And it was, you know, and his technology is a really interesting set of possibilities, you know, and it depends on, you know, how it's going to be used and, you know, what the intent of operators are for any technology, whether it be an automobile or something else.
How do they physically control the brain with this kind of equipment and apparatus?
Well, they've done quite a few things, you know, in terms of creating an external oscillating field within a certain range. What happens is the brain sort of locks onto that external signal. So it becomes what's called an entrained, or say frequency following response, FFR is often referred to. And what happens is, for instance, for emotional states, if you send a signal in, the brain locks onto that signal. The brain EEG, if you were to look at it on EEG, you would see this brain activity begins to mirror the pulse rate of the external signal, which then causes a change in brain chemistry, which then, of course, leads to the changes in emotional state. It's a very simple mechanism, actually, but when applied either using modulated, pulse-modulated microwave or any other carrier, it's not so much the carrier as the pulse rate and the modulation that's carried on it.
Well, Nick, you're going to be at the LAX Hilton this weekend for your speech, and I understand you're going to unveil some incredible stuff.
Yeah, you know, we're gonna not only talk about the technology, but actually show some instruments that sort of demonstrate, you know, how the body deals with energy. At the same time, talk about some of the ways in which the brain can be manipulated, whether it's electrocranial stimulation, light, sound, or these other methods, and then actually demonstrate some of that. And then following The lectures, there's actually a seminar following on Monday where we'll be demonstrating on a smaller group level, at least the opportunity for people to try this stuff. So, you know, there's a lot out there. There's some real great possibilities. The thing that we're excited about is the applications that can really serve our interest, enhance our performance, and maybe stimulate some of those anomalous capabilities that human beings have.
Okay, well, if you want some more information on where Nick Begich will be at the LAX Hilton, by the way, I'll be out there too. It's 800-367-5777, 800-367-5777. Also, there's a link to the Conscious Life Expo website right there at coasttocoastam.com. So you can just scroll down and click that, and in you go. We're going to open up the phone lines now as we chat with Nick Begich. And if you want to talk about HARP or earth changes or mind control, take it away. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, if you live in Canada, over the next couple of weeks, you'll be able to pick up the prediction show on your cable outlet and your satellite outfit just by going to www.predictions.tv. If you're here in this country, you still want to see it, you can see it right off the website, also at predictions.tv. When we come right back, it'll be our very special guest, Nick Begich, on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with Nick Begich, mind control, HARP, earth changes, and whatever else is on your mind with some of the things that Nick has done. Nick, do you see the picture that I think I see that's unfolding throughout this planet, almost geared towards the beginning of another major conflict?
You know, absolutely. I think it's, we're at that crossroads and have been there for way too long, you know, sitting at 2 minutes to midnight for several years here. And, you know, the things that are happening are pretty much accelerating. You know, we push for democracy, governments get elected we don't like, and here we are, you know, in a whole other series of events unfolding in front of us. And, you know, really a lot of it stems from just our desire to be involved in everyone else's governments. You know, we've interfered with a lot of governments over the year. At the same time, you know, over the years, and you know, people are looking, you know, looking back at the United States and saying, you know, what are you guys, you know, all about? And I think there's a lot of confusion, you know, because people generally, when I travel, people love Americans. I mean, when you travel around the world, you're generally well received, but often our policies of our government, we don't fully understand them, we don't fully see them in terms of their impact. And I think that's what we need to be a little more conscious of as Americans. Just look at the impacts and try and make those decisions that are the wise ones in favor of, you know, not just our own national interests, but, you know, those things are important to all human beings.
Well, and I hope it's sooner than later, Nick.
Yeah, so do I.
Because I've got a really strange feeling about this one.
Yeah, I think we're, you know, I think we're in a really bad situation right now. And you know, here's the thing, though. With all bad news is an equal opportunity for flipping this thing around. And I think that's something that every time we face these events in the history of mankind, it's always the challenge for that inner part of what human beings are. We have an opportunity to rise to the occasion and avoid problems, or if immersed in them, at least get through them in a way that makes this a better place than the one we started with.
So I think Iran may already have a nuke, because 18 years ago, that Pakistani scientist, Shah, gave them some of the technology. That was 18 years ago.
Yeah, and as far as producing their own plutonium, it's unnecessary. The Israelis identified, just after the fall of the Soviet Union, enough plutonium unaccounted for to, you know, to equip 25 suitcase nukes, according to, you know, major Jerusalem news, you know. And the fact is, plutonium is missing. There are amounts that are in the hands of figures that certainly now have the capability of putting it on a missile and launching it. And I think that's, you know, we know what will happen. If anyone does that in the Middle East or elsewhere, there will be, a retaliatory move, and it will be horrendous.
Oh, and you would have to retaliate.
Absolutely.
The imams in Iran and that crazed president truly believe that this is their destiny, that they're taking this into the end time scenario.
Yeah, and you know, and when you look at it, I mean, it's almost like the self-fulfilled prophecy, in the sense that, yeah, all that's in the record, but at the same time, it's almost like intentionality in terms of creating that kind of an outcome in our lifetimes. And I think that's, again, you know, all of the prophetic things everyone's heard since the beginning of time aren't there to condemn, they're there to warn. Not to say this is the end, but perhaps a chance to avoid the end. And I think we still have that opportunity until that last breath is had.
To the phones we go. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, thank you, George. Hi.
Sure.
Nick, I want to ask you a question. My name is Lito. I want to ask you a question on if there are any tracking systems or weapon systems based on, I know biometrics and so forth, but on a person's heartbeat or heart resonance, because as a heart beats, of course, it resonates actually throughout the whole body.
Right. You know, in terms of tracking individuals, there's lots of ways to biometrics.
I mean, remotely.
Yeah, heat signatures from an individual are unique. The energy signature around an individual can be pretty unique.
Right.
You know, so there's things that can be done there. In terms of general body rhythms, you know, I would think not so easily discernible from, you know, great distances. But there are other things that are being utilized today. Micro implants used for GPS purposes have been around a long time, in fact.
Exactly. Armed forces use those.
Yeah. Revolution of Military Affairs, Conflict Short of War from 1989 talked about military applications. Heads of state use them. Now they're using them in Alzheimer's patients, people losing mental faculties. They're about prisoners. I mean, the list goes on until eventually, you know, it's
everyone.
Well,
let's say you wanted to develop a system for, let's say, in getting rid of a leader of a nation, and you had a weapon that would home in on this person's personal heartbeat, his heart rate, his rhythm, where you could send a missile or some other device that would take out that leader in the vicinity of maybe a few other people, but not destroy everything.
Interesting.
You know?
Well, the idea of creating a heart attack there, you can do this remotely if you got line of sight. And it was actually, there was a paper, actually a book, it's almost 4 inches thick. It's called the Radio Frequency Dosimetry Handbook. It was sponsored by the Air Force Science Advisory Board and produced at the University of Utah, which shows the radio frequency dosages necessary to override any of the major organs of the body, including the heart. And you could, in fact, with line of sight, with microwave, interfere with heart rhythm sufficiently to create what would appear in an autopsy as a heart attack.
How about remote view his heart, Nick, and then you can make it stop, huh?
Now, that's an interesting area because, yeah, you know, there was a lot of work. A couple of papers that popped out recently for me were releases that were done a number of years ago, but they were the parapsychological reports of the CIA on what the USSR was doing back during the Cold War. And when you start looking at some of the, you know, because this is all that crossover between the MK Ultra programs, because really what they were looking for is not just mind control technologies, but ways to trigger anomalous phenomena, ESP kind
right.
of phenomena.
First time caller line, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Keith Whitaker. I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois.
Hello, Keith, take it away.
Okay, well, I'm prior military, and my question was that have there been a test on mind control with people that just meditate on the, like, you know, God is love type of thought pattern? Because I believe it works for me a lot. I believe that I might be having mind control put on me, but I just meditate and pray, and I feel normal again.
You really surround yourself with some positive energy, huh?
Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, here's something that's known is if a weak field is coming at you and a strong field exists, your body locks onto the stronger field. So, you know, there's certainly something to be said for all of that. You know, we're talking about real subtle energies designed to override mechanisms within the body. It's not so much the power of the punch, it's the way in which that energy is actually tuned or manipulated. So you can think of it as, by analogy, like almost a radio. You know, when you dial through the stations, most of it's static, but when you get resonance or harmony between the transmitter and receiver, you get a nice clear signal and you hear our voice like people are hearing it today. The same is true with every molecule, every cell, every body organ are affected by very specific energy forms and concentrations and pulse rates that are unique to those particular components of the body. And that's where the overriding of the system comes in, whether it's for the brain or the heart or the liver, the lungs, etc.
How long do you think the mind control experiments have been underway?
Well, the earliest ones go back to Harvard University, and it goes back to the 20s, and most of that work was dealing with, you know, hypnosis and the applications of hypnosis. A guy named Estabrook, who worked in those labs in the 20s and 30s, was kind of the point person for the Central Intelligence Agency when they started to advance this going back in the 40s. And when we start to trace it from the 40s kind of on, the big shift happened right after Korea, and we had all these returning prisoners of war. And the term brainwashing was developed because they were so changed personally that we began to really look at what were the ways in which, what things did they do to these people to change them so dramatically. And then we began to try it ourselves, and that's where all of these sub-programs under MKUltra, and then through not the CIA alone, but other organizations that did work under the sponsorship of the CIA and others, really to kind of come up with the same sort of answers, using maverick scientists on the edge, but still within academia, to explore areas that other scientists just wouldn't tread.
West of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
George, Dave from Sacramento, California.
Hi, Dave. Welcome to the program.
Hey, George, I wanted to ask you, were you aware that in referring to domestic applications that your guest is actually talking about using these non-lethal devices on Americans? Like protesters, et cetera, because
right.
That's what we're talking
Oh, sure,
about.
Yeah, that's what
exactly
we've been talking
right.
about.
And another point worthy of mention is that these devices are not terribly specific. They would tend to have somewhat of a collateral zone.
Yeah, they would, but you're not. You know, it's a different kind of damage. You know, because here's the situation: is if you're affecting only living organisms and people, and you're leaving all the hardware in place. This is where these get particularly attractive to military, because you don't have the carnage that you would see, and you don't have the destruction that you have to rebuild. And this is what you're going to see as the argument for introducing these into the battle environments that we're currently in. And you'll see it, and you'll see it in the next several months and over the next year or two.
Applications was my concern.
Oh yeah, there's no question about it, and that unfortunately will deal with who gets it and who's controlling the thing.
Well, and this is important because, you know, there was actually a story in the news services. You know, when you talk about these kinds of technologies, the mind control applications of, say, the HARP system was objected to in a resolution by the Russian Duma. And more recently, an article appeared saying the Chinese were building phased arrays for these kinds of military purposes, similar to what the U.S. has done. When you start talking about countries looking at these kinds of technologies, and the Soviets' work in this area goes back even before our own, it's time to take a deep breath, because these are the fundamental technologies of the 21st century. This is the century of the brain, and understanding the brain to manipulate it is the wrong answer unless it's to improve our capacity and we individually drive that truck. And we're talking about militaries developing systems to be applied in a scenario of warfare today that even introduces concepts like preemptive war, where you don't even tell anyone you're fighting the war, you just start waging it. Now think about these kinds of weapons in a covert scenario where no declaration of war is ever made. That's where the big questions arise, because it doesn't mean necessarily the United States will be the first to develop these technologies, and in fact, we're not.
What about the possibility of creating permanent brain damage when they turn these machines on?
That's possible if you have a high enough power density to create damage within the cells. Yes, indeed, you can. On the other side of that coin, you know, one of the interesting things that was actually structurally built by analyzing in primates, they were actually able to create the hippocampus, a portion of the brain that's kind of the regulator for everything, you know. But they synthesized it. In other words, what's happening as we see sort of the technologies emerging with nanotechnologies, biotechnologies, and information technologies, we're able to actually do some things that have never been possible before. We've been able to grow, for instance, at the Salk Institute, they can grow brain cells on electronic substrate, and they can also grow the neurons that connect those brain cells. Those are all big steps in the direction that is going to change forever a lot of things, including perhaps the definition of what's a human being.
Why don't they use this or the other machines we've been talking about, the devices, out there where all these people are protesting and burning and, you know, doing what they do?
Well, I think that's exactly what I'm saying, is you're going to see it deployed. I mean, the technologies have been out for a long enough time. There's got to be some production out there available to militaries now. And that's why I say in the next several months, I think as this thing accelerates, those are the technologies that are going to be tried first.
And it is a double-edged sword, Nick. On one hand, to use it in those kinds of situations might be the proper thing to do. On the other hand, if these things get in the hands of the wrong people, they truly can be used against us.
Absolutely. And here's the thing that is known is the technology is much simpler. You know, without getting into that discussion, just to say this, that anyone with enough knowledge to do basic kind of research can come up with tools that can be used in the same way that our tools are being developed. And this is, again, where it's a flat world, you know, in terms of information these days. Scientific principles are understood more universally today than ever before. The question is intention behind that science in terms of what it does, whether it serves us or does something to us. And I think that again, is a challenge for all of us, is to make sure that these technologies really do the kinds of things that humanity demands and doesn't do the kinds of things that truly humanity should insist upon not ever happening.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
George.
Hi.
Ryan in Kansas City. Gosh, I'm a big fan.
Thank you, Ryan.
Anyways, I'd like to ask your guests and you and your listeners about these wireless towers that encompass this country and so many others on the planet. They appear to have numbers of other mechanisms, at least three here in the Kansas City area. I'm wondering why these are not already or will not be used for this mind control, HARP, etc., and touch on that, yes, it appears we are reaching critical mass with technology and government. I'll listen off the air, and thank you both.
Well, he may be onto something there, Nick.
Yeah, actually, it's right on target. There was an article published in the U.S. Army War College Quarterly called Perimeters back in 1998, and the article was called The Mind Has No Firewalls, and it was a reprint, actually, in kind of an amplified version of something printed in a Russian military journal called Orienteer. And this is what they said, and I'll just read this one liner. It says, a psychotronic generator which produces a powerful electromagnetic emanation capable of being sent through telephone lines, TV, radio networks, supply pipes, and incandescent lamps. The signal would manipulate the behavior of those in contact with the signal, unquote. What it essentially is saying is that any carrier can be used to pulse modulate a signal that will interact with our physiology or in fact interact with brain activity in a way that can be quite dangerous. The point of the matter is it doesn't take a lot of energy to do this. It just requires the right pulse modulation on a carrier. And so any of these things can be used to get the signal in. It only requires knowledge on the part of the operator, or can be done. You know, these systems can be hacked through, as we've seen in enough instances, to where who knows who could be hacking through our systems and putting things into the airways. In fact, that's Project Solo. One of the things we use in advance of our warfighting efforts is we send in the planes that knock, that interfere with communication.
Oh, yeah.
As far as
command
radio
and control first.
Right. And then we also embed signals. And those signals, in the case of the first Gulf War, according to Scottish media, using that project, we were able to create the emotions of anxiety and fear by piggybacking the signal on the broadcast going into the area, you know, with the normal Muslim music and prayers that everybody was listening to. And it was one of the most devastating weapons, according to that report. And when you think about the surrenderings, the mass surrenderings in the first Gulf War, that goes a long way to explain it. And we had suspected that. In fact, we had said so in February 1997 in a program we did on CBC-TV. But the problem was the evidence wasn't in yet. The evidence did come in, and we know, in fact, they utilized that technology. And then we found the patents that show how it's used. So it's, you know, it's been out there. They've already been using some of this to sort of soften the battle environment before we even get there.
Do you think they'll ever all chip us one day, and then through these chips, they'll be able to send signals to them and render us down to our knees?
Yeah, actually, you can do it. You know, I think there'd be a point where you don't even need that. But, you know, there was the microcircuit designs are already there for medical applications. I mean, there's one that was done now almost 5 years ago, which is, you know, kind of ancient when you think of technology. But it was the size of the first numeral on a date of a dime, you know, very, very small microcircuit that would, you know, give you stress levels, heart rates, you know, breathing, you know, give you a whole lot of information beyond location. And so when you look at the sophistication of microcircuits, and the need for positive ID based on the fear that's being floated around, you know, eventually that does become, if you look at what's going on globally, that is the only solution that bureaucrats will eventually come to. And unfortunately, it seems to be accelerating as the fear levels accelerate.
Nick, I'll see you this weekend, my friend.
Okay, buddy, we'll see you there.
Okay, Nick Begich, he's going to be at the LAX Hilton. Those of you who live in the greater Los Angeles area this weekend, toll-free number, if you want to get more information, is 800-367-5777. I'll be there with Nick. You can also go online at coasttocoastam.com. Look for the Conscious Life Expo link, and that'll give you all the information you need.